coming up on this episode of Cryptid Addicted.
No, that's not quantum entanglement!
worms with worms.
Get in your chair.
It's like the Scientology of cryptids.
Nighttime is dark.
Megan Dunn looked into it and then nothing there. Hello! Hey, listeners.
Hey. Hello.
How y'all going?
Yeah, what's up? How's the baking and gardening and in other house stuff? Cleaning?
Crosswords.
Reading. Playing with a cat if you got one.
I'm doing a lot of rewatching of old TV series. Friends, The Office, things like this.
Yes.
That new Picard series, that sucks. Oh, God, is that bad. Yeah. It's so sad. I love Patrick Stewart, but yeah.
Oh, my condolences.
All right. Anyway, hello, everyone. This is Cryptid Addicted.
Yes.
These are mini episodes, our, like, alternating off episodes where... How would you describe these?
We talk about cryptid news. We talk about encounters. And it's called Who Dis, because if we talk about an encounter or a listener encounter, we ask each other at the end, Who Dis? And we guess who it was and what it was and what they saw. But yeah, this is Cryptid Addicted, cryptozoology podcast. Cryptozoology is the study of potentially unidentified animals, for those who don't know, such as...
What does that mean?
What now?
I know it's part of your news script. Whenever you introduce any of the episodes, you say, cryptozoology is the study of potentially unidentified animals. What does that mean?
Okay, so if it was unidentified animal, it's an animal that has not yet been categorically identified by science.
So it's not potentially unidentified, it is unidentified, right?
But there are some cryptids that are potentially complete bullshit, right? Like Nessie. We all know, unfortunately, it's not true.
Okay.
So, Nessie's just... still a cryptid because it's potentially unidentified animal, but it's really not.
It's not.
How would you say it?
They are creatures that are definitely unrecognized by science and may potentially become recognized by science.
All right, I'm going to make edits on the fly. Okay.
You don't have to do it word for word. I just...
Well, if I do it word for word, and then next week say it, and you're like, oh, I have a problem with that, then I'll be like, fuck, gotcha.
That was very lawyerly of you. All right.
Don't know what it means. Can't hurt me.
Lawyerly, as in...
Oh, loyally. Oh.
Like a lawyer.
Like a lawyer. Okay, cool. I can live with that. Okay, cool. So an example of a cryptid is Ogopogo and Rock.
What? Rock.
Not the Rock, just called Rock. R-O-C. Rock.
Oh yeah, like the semi-mythical creature, like the Rock.
The bird thing. Yeah.
Big bird of prey. Yeah. Okay, cool. So we got some tidbits. Well, it's actually titbits, isn't it? We got some titbits for you guys today.
I don't think it is titbits.
It is. Look it up.
Patty, you dirty old man. It is not titbits.
We got some juicy titties for you here today. We were going to mention this, but it actually got struck from our agenda. There is this big Sasquatch conference that happens annually, I think, called Sasquatch Rendezvous. Is it annual?
Yeah, I think so, yep.
But it's sort of irrelevant for you guys listening because it's actually happening today, the day that we're recording. So it'll be in the past for you. Mm-hmm. But there's this big conference. It's happening online this year because of all the coronavirus shenanigans, as Megan would put it. It's this two-day sort of extravaganza for crypto people. I thought it was funny because I had a look at the agenda and it's got some like celebrities of the crypto world. So Ron Moorhead is going to be there, who was one of the guys that recorded the Sierra sounds in the 1970s.
Yes.
Amusingly, he's going to be there to plug his new book, which is called Quantum Bigfoot. It's very funny. I gotta pull it up for you. It's funny enough. I found it on Amazon, including the, like, blurb And I think it's funny enough to warrant reading the whole book.
God, okay. You're going to, like, crush a lot of people's heroes here. Let's go for it.
All right. In my 45 years of researching this phenomenon, Bigfoot, I've heard several very strange reports. A few of these reports, from seemingly heartfelt people, claimed that these creatures disappeared entirely. Is that possible? Can the laws of quantum physics actually answer that question? Knowing what I know, I'm compelled to delve in and see. And then he goes on this crazy rant about quantum physics. He clearly knows nothing about quantum physics, but anyway. The accepted mathematics of quantum physics says that there is more going on than what we see with our three-dimensional eyes. Scientists now know, through physics, that empty space is actually not empty. It is a dimension existing outside of the human light spectrum and the observable vibrational frequency. It's... It goes on like this. It's fucking insane. Anyway, he ends with, if we use the classical box to try and determine everything that exists, we would never begin to understand the cosmos, e.g. the world of spirituality. The math of quantum... It's so insane. It just reads like he's taken, you know, way too much LSD over, like, 5 decades, which I assume he has. Anyway, yeah, well, you could listen to him. Just, we could tune in right now if we wanted
to. I'm so bummed. I went to book it tonight and I was like, it's in the past. Oh no.
No.
Ruined it. Oh dear. Welcome.
He actually does, because he doesn't, like, what's he going to talk about? He doesn't know any quantum physics.
He's talking about the theory, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to... Sorry, you go on. I'm going to scan bits of his book.
It's like that theory that someone talked to me about at the conference speech that I did on the Yowie. Someone came in and was like, what do you think about the correlation between Bigfoot and juniper berries? And I was like, what? You mean they eat them? No, that they disappear behind them. Coincidence? And I was like, I think they're calling my name. I gotta go. I don't know how to help. I don't know what to do in this situation. God.
Wait, no, this is so... I've gone to page 103, just right into the middle of the book. It's so insane. This is the craziest thing I've ever read, Megan. Okay, so he starts with a quote from www.livescience.com, which is talking about what quantum entanglement is. You know quantum entanglement? It's where, like... No. You get two particles and they get all entangled, and then you can separate them over a really large distance, and, like, changing one kind of changes the other.
Ooh.
Anyway, so he describes that, and then he's like, this doesn't seem to relate to Bigfoot, but does it? And then he says, oh god, it's so crazy. No, I can't even explain it, Megan. It's so crazy. I gotta send this to you. He says, maybe what one animal knows, the other knows. Take dogs, for instance. Oh, God. What about birds flocking together, moving in unison? Is that quantum entanglement? No, that's not quantum entanglement! Oh, Ron! What are you doing? Okay, oh, anyway, God. Sorry. I'm going to send this link to you just for your own... Actually, I encourage everyone to click on this link. I'm sorry, Ron. But you fucking deserve this. You published this.
Oh my god.
You put your name on this shit. Okay.
I'm never going to get an interview after this.
Anyway, that's not even on our agenda, so that was a huge detour. Sorry. Hi. Do you want to jump into our first item for the
day? Yes, I am. I'm it's somewhat working from home / COVID related, I guess. It's basically I saw an article which was like, are you bored shitless? Well, here's heaps of different live webcams for you to tune in on. And it was like weddings or some random crap that nobody cares about. But one of them was pointing at the Loch Ness. And so I like looked into it and I was like, oh my god, is this a live stream of Loch Ness looking for the Loch Ness monster? It is. Although I really done goofed and I like looked at it and it was like my nighttime, which... Loch Ness is in England and I'm in England. And I was like, this thing is broken. It's just a black screen. And then I like retracted and I saw that the sun had set and nighttime is dark. And so if you like look at it at night, it will look black. But I had a look and I've been like looking at it for so long because it actually overlooks where there's like some sheep in the foreground. So it's just sheep. And like I was watching it the other day and like when I was working on the podcast and I was doing some pretty intense research on the Coolacamba and I had it just on the side and it was just like so soothing to be like, hello sheep, look at your little life.
It's so serene. Yeah. I don't think it's useful at all because it's like too grainy to even see things. But it's just so nice to have like a nice country, you know, a lock on your screen.
Yes. I mean, those of us working from home, some of us don't have windows or like gardens or, I mean, I'm sure there's some windows, but like balconies, just whack this on your screen. And just like if you're writing an email and it's really getting you down, just look at that sheep and be like, he doesn't give a fuck about this email.
About
this
little life.
Look at his little life. Anyway, it's really good. And I got really excited and started like commenting because like it was like one comment and it was me and I put like a monocle emoji like, what's looking over here? Anyway, it was really fun. So if you see just some monocle emojis from Cryptid Addicted, you know who that is. Anyway, we'll share that link. It's just
a cool link. You should check it out. And there are some others on that Forbes article, not cryptid related, just cool webcams that people have set up. Like I know there's a Northern Lights one. They're decent. This one, the Loch Ness webcam, apparently they had a sighting late last year in September, and I looked it up. It's a joke. Like, it's really... It's sad, because, it's a cool idea. It's like it's like the track cam idea, but the camera they've set up is not, like, high resolution. It's not 4K or anything. So, I don't know. It's just this super grainy footage from September of something a couple of kilometers away. Who knows?
That could have been a boat or something.
It looked a bit like a boat.
Bugger.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Anyway. Cool. Well, that's the news item. There's not a lot happening in the news in the cryptid world right now. But
I guess everyone's indoors.
Yeah, everyone's indoors, not looking for cryptids. So we got two encounter segments. So the first one is from Mexico. Do you wanna go over this one? I'm sure it will bring you most joy.
Yeah, I can do that. I'm actually excited that the coronavirus thing, you know, everyone's indoors and there's been reports of like animals like walking into public places and like taking over again because there's just no humans around.
Yeah.
I feel like if you think there are cryptids near human towns and dwellings, this could be a cool time. There's a big movement of populations. Animals are moving back in, and then we'll expand again once the virus is over. So this would be like a prime time for people to see things.
Ooh, like
maybe not right now, but when it ends, yeah.
Like Bigfoot getting into a habit of like coming closer, coming closer, coming closer, and then suddenly humans are everywhere, and they get tripped up, and then it's like snap, snap, motherfucker.
Snip, snap. Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Maybe. So Chupacabras is in the news again because in Mexico, in a place called Valle de Bravo, apologies for that, it's a state in Mexico, a taxi driver got killed, 54-year-old, and he looked like he'd been torn apart by an animal. He had, like, deep wounds, torn clothing, some animal killed him, and so the mayor announced this, and everyone lost their fucking mind. He didn't say this is a chupacabras. Research, like scientists think it was a lion, or like that there was an escaped tiger in the area, so it could have been that, or like wild dogs or something. And the mayor was not like, the monster. He was just like, he just announced that the guy died. But everyone's freaking out, and some people are saying it's the chupacabras.
El chupacabras.
El chupacabras. But it is not el chupacabras because there is no El Chupacabras, because it's ridiculous. We've done a whole episode on it. Our thoughts are well catalogued on this front, unless you've changed your mind.
No.
It's just, it was made up too recently. Like, yes. In case you don't know, El Chupacabra didn't exist before 1992. And one person was like, ah, made it up. And then it spread. You can track it spread. It just spread with news articles. It's super implausible. It's like the Scientology of cryptids. Like, it's just, it was made up too recently.
Yeah.
Like, Scientology is from 1952. And it was Ron Hubbard, who was, like, on record as being a con artist. So it's just like, yeah, we know that's not true.
Yeah.
That's my view.
And, like, with the Chupacabra as well, like, the original description was, like, super reptilian, sort of, like, alien little thing. And the lady who saw it for the very first time, the first, like, instance of the Chupacabra, later admitted that she'd seen a movie and saw a creature in the movie and, like, wasn't really sure, like, got confused that the movie wasn't a documentary. And so later saw like a monkey and was like, it's the creature from that documentary I saw. I was like, no, honey, that's a movie. That's from Hollywood. And then it changed into the dog like thing you see later on in Texas and stuff. So it's just a whole mess of a cryptid. It's interesting. So it happened on the 1st of March, so a little over a month ago. And there's like so many news articles on it. I don't know how deep you went into this, but I watched a lot of YouTube clippings from coverage on the news and stuff.
I just saw Spanish articles and I was like, I can't read these.
Yeah. Well, I was watching the YouTube ones, but literally like every comment in the YouTube comment section is El Chupacabra. No. It's pretty insane though. Like, schools are being told to like stay at home, people to stay at home and get off the streets, and there's a wild animal.
But I mean, you would want them to do that if there was a lion about as well, right?
Yes,
that had
yes.
like got a taste for humans, and yes. like that's the plausible explanation for the Chupacabra stuff. Like, there were legit dead farm animals everywhere with like bite marks on them, but like the areas where this happened, they have pumas and the kinds of things that do that. So,
yes, 100%. So yeah, not a Chupacabra, but interesting.
Yeah.
It's interesting that it's like a pop culture thing. People are just like, kind of enjoy it. Like, maybe it might be a sense of pride and stuff to be like, oh, the Chupacabra. Like, you know how probably, Chupacabra. I mean, I imagine the American population kind of like talking about Bigfoot. They're like, yeah, that's our jam.
I think so.
Probably like
I suspect so. Yeah. I like it. I could get into that. I don't think I would get so into it that I'd like join a Bigfoot forum and a Bigfoot club and go to Bigfoot meetings and things, but it's fun. It's a bit fun.
Yeah. You could do that for the Yowie in Sydney.
Yeah, and you make little chocolates about them and you scare kids with it, you know? Yeah.
Anyway, just because I'm a good researcher, I looked into Chupacabra and that area in Mexico. I couldn't find any reports of Chupacabra activity before then, any livestock or any like sightings, the end.
Well, that's it, folks.
Pretty interesting though. It's pretty cool.
Megan Dunn looked into it and then nothing there. All right.
Yeah.
Which I think that brings us to our final item.
It does.
Which was a video that one of our listeners sent us.
Yes, so it was a while ago, actually. One of our listeners saw this online and it freaked them out to no end, and they wanted us to look into it and make a deciding decision on what it is. Now, it's interesting because I don't know how you feel about this, Patty, but there's a controversy about whether invertebrates and bugs and insects count as cryptids. So if there's an undiscovered bug, is it a cryptid?
Because there is. That seems silly.
Yes. Anyway, well, this is decided as a, quote, worm alien. And for anyone who doesn't like bugs, this is disgusting. It is gross. It is nasty. It is a Taiwanese creature filmed and doing the rounds on the internet. And it's basically writhing on the camera and then it cuts. Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty confident in who this is, but Patty, who dis?
Me too. I don't understand why anyone is confused about this. And I'm sorry to... I know I was trying to be less of a downer in these episodes, but this just looks like a worm caught in some rubbish. Like, there's, if you look at it, there's only one thing that's moving, the worm, and then there's, like, some fabric caught around it or something.
Yes, I think that's what's confusing people. It's, like, caught in, like, really thin, you know, okay, cast your mind back to when we had used to have little tapes for, like, tape for a tape deck.
Yeah, like that.
It's, like,
that.
Caught in, like, the reams of black tape that comes out of a tape. But, yeah, basically.
It's exactly what it looks like, yeah.
Yeah. So, did you also have that it's a horse hair worm?
It looks like a worm. I saw that in the comments. I don't know what a horse hair worm looks like.
I do.
But does it look like that, I assume?
It does. It's a disgusting parasite. I know all about the horse hair worm, and you're about to, too. Get in your chair. Ooh. I don't know what that means. No one has ever said that to anyone ever.
Strap your chair on. Okay.
Hold on to your cuffs. Okay. They are sometimes referred to as a giant gonad, as they don't even eat. They just function to breed.
Oh, wow. They don't eat anything. No. What, they just absorb nutrients from, like, the atmosphere or something?
No, they just bone until they die.
Oh, wow. Mm. Wait, but how do they get the energy to bone?
Oh, they leech nutrients.
Oh, okay.
Off
yeah.
A host. Okay, cool. Interesting and gross. So, here's how it works.
Ah, sex worms. Cool.
Yes. They lay eggs into fresh water where they begin their life. When they become larvae, they hatch, they wiggle their way into an invertebrate, such as a cricket or cockroach, and then they leach nutrients from within.
Aww.
But wait, it gets worse. Okay, so once they are coming to the end of their life and they want to get down and funky, they actually take over the minds of the insect and invade their controls, telling the host body to go into water and drown itself.
Oh! Parasites are so weird!
I know, zombie shit. It then explodes out of the body of the host and wriggles off to find a mate. Yeah.
That's like those ones that take over ants.
Yes!
Like the fungus.
Like The Last of Us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I have a photo, but it looks kind of exactly like the... It looks like the picture. The video.
Oh! Yeah, why would you hold it?
Okay, this is a little bit of a side hustle, but did you look at the suggested videos when you look at this video?
I think we would get different ones.
Oh. Okay. Because on this, the first thing that was suggested was a green worm that said had an infinite tongue. And it was the most horrific thing I've ever seen. And I'm going to share it with you right now.
Thank you. Very kind.
Let me go to my history. Let's go past the David Attenborough talking about cryptids video.
He talks about cryptids?
I haven't got to the bit where he talks about cryptids. It's a 13-minute video. He's interviewed by Jonathan Ross. And I haven't actually...
Send that to me as well.
Okay. Okay, where's this horrible worm thing? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Are you ready? Now, this is another gross-ass thing that people are like, what the hell's that? But has a very logical explanation and is a well-known creature. It's actually two well-known creatures.
I don't do well with gross things.
Oh, you do not want to be watching this.
Oh!
My god, it's so gross.
Oh, god. Is that two things? Yeah. Separate creatures?
Yeah, so it's a... Oh, god. I don't know why it's green, because it should be pink. It's a ribbon worm, the big boy. And the little thing is some sort of... parasite.
Worms with worms. All right, I'm done. Oh god, fuck.
Sorry, here's some David Attenborough. I'll send you the David Attenborough one.
Oh good, thank you.
Well, I mean, I'm at 10 minutes and he hasn't talked about Freddy cryptids yet, so
I like Jonathan Ross. Okay, I'm gonna watch that later. Cool. That's the end of our items, though. So, yes. Yeah, I think we agree on the worm thing.
Yes, it is. I mean, it's interesting. Thank you for sending it in. And we definitely do take recommendations. So if you have something weird that you're not sure what it is or you want us to look at, give a second opinion, you can send that to cryptidaddicted@gmail.com. But what we love most of all is hearing from your encounters. So if you've seen anything you're not sure about, if you've seen, you think you've seen a cryptid, you think you've seen Bigfoot, you think you've seen a Wendigo, we'd love to hear about your story. Write it in. We'll read it out and we'll talk about what you may have seen. I'll usually come at it from a cryptozoological standpoint. Paddy might look at it from a more animal or ulterior explanation standpoint, like mange. but yeah, it's a good hoot and we love doing them, so we highly encourage. And Paddy's not mean. Don't worry. He'll be good.
I'll be good. I'll be better. And try to send us your analysis too. Like, if you have a theory, I'd like to know your theory. And, like, the person who sent in this, like, what looks like a worm in a bunch of rubbish video, if you think it's something else, tell us what you think it is.
That's true. That's true. Actually, I didn't know you wanted to do that, because I have a theory about what the mooly wonk is from a listener that we could talk about.
The mooly wonk. You see, that's not something we've talked about in the last 10 minutes, so I've deleted all memory of the mooly wonk.
It is I believe it's a plesiosaur in the Hawkesbury River, Australia.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm. Okay, maybe we'll save that for next time.
Okay, cool. All right, well, thank you everyone for listening. We'll see you soon for a big episode. Yeah.
Yes, correct. Yep.
All right. See you.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.